Whether you're moving in together for the first time,
this can be your closet,
or you're a new parent to a little fur baby, Viva paper towels can help you maintain a clean home. They're 2 times more durable when wet compared to the leading value brand. So they clean like cloth, helping you pick up after your new pet in your new home. For an exceptional cloth-like clean, use Viva towels. Visit vivatowels.com to learn more and start fresh with a clean feeling of home. Whether you have your own bathroom or you share one with your family, a little extra help keeping the bathroom sink, counter, and mirror clean goes a long way. And Viva paper towels are for the long haul. They're 2 times more durable when wet compared to the leading value brand. And they clean like cloth, helping you keep the surfaces in your bathroom dry and fingerprint and toothpaste free. For an exceptional bathroom clean, there's Viva paper towels. Visit vivatowels.com to learn more.
Oh, and we are live on Discovery Paranormal tonight. And tonight, we're going to talk about something that every culture has a name for, a term for. You know, the doctors out there, the medical world will call it sleep paralysis, but others who have seen it and part of it and understand that it's beyond a medical condition, they call it the night hag, or most, there's many cultures that refer to her as Lilith. Okay, so the night hag is this supernatural creature that sits on top of you when you're sleeping and compresses your chest. It does all kinds of stuff, but I'm going to go and take this one further because we did a paranormal investigation on a house where the woman there, the mom of this family, was experiencing this. And then, you know, at several times, like was laying in bed, not even asleep, and then felt someone sitting on her chest. I mean, where she actually went to the ER twice and they found nothing wrong with her, but she actually saw this image, saw the face of this creature, spirit, sitting on top of her. So that, this just reminds me of that. And we're going to get into the whole medical part of it also. Okay. Now, in Scandinavian folklore, sleep paralysis is caused by a mare, a supernatural creature related to the incubi or succubi, right? The mare is a damned woman who is cursed, and her body is carried out mysteriously during sleep without her noticing. Ooh, gonna come get you, right? In this state, she visits villagers and sits on their rib cages while they're asleep, causing them to experience nightmares. There's actually a Swedish film called Marianne, and that examines the whole folklore surrounding this, what you could also refer to as a sleep paralysis, but this goes far beyond. And, you know, it's funny how they say that sleep paralysis can cause even hallucinations and that type of thing. Science really stretches the limit on trying to explain something that they can't explain. They want to be able to put the label and the stamp on it, but sometimes you just can't, and you have to understand the situation for the person. And sure, sometimes things go down, boil down to you know, medical whatever, but in many cases, it also boils down to a paranormal experience, right? So we're going to focus on the whole paranormal experience part of it. The folk belief in Newfoundland in Canada and South Carolina and Georgia in the United States describe the negative figure of the hag who leaves her physical body at night and sits on the chest of her victim. The victim usually wakes with a feeling of terror, has difficulty breathing because of perceived heavy, invisible weight on his or her chest, and is unable to move. Basically, they experience that sleep paralysis, right? Where they wake up, they can't move, whatever. This nightmare experience is described as being hag-ridden or haggard. If people, oh, you look haggard, right? You hear that term. which that's what that means. And old hag was a nightmare spirit in British culture also, and in North American folklore. In Fiji, the experience is interpreted as Kana Tavero being eaten by a demon. In many cases, the demon can be the spirit of a recently dead relative who has come back to some unfinished business, or like, you know, you owe the money, something like that. They're going to call them, sit on your chest, right? Or has they've come to communicate some important news to the living, right? Got to tell you something, tell you a secret, something important, right? Often persons sleeping near the afflicted person say, Kanya, eat, in an attempt to prolong the possession for a chance to converse with the dead relative or a spirit and seek answers to why he or she has come back. The person, see, and so this isn't as such of a negative experience per se, pretty bad, but not as bad as the other ones, right? But still, all these cultures have a name for it, and everybody has experienced this, and not just an inanimate type of, oh, I can't move, I wake up, sleep paralysis, that type of thing. They're experiencing other beings there with them, you know. So anyway, all right, so now the person waking up from the experience is often asked, in this case, to immediately curse or chase the spirit of the dead relative, which sometimes involve literally speaking to the spirit and telling them to go away, or using expletives. Get the F out of here. To Uncle Tommy, trying to get your money. Get the F out of here. You're dead. Yeah, can't take it with you. Bye. And then Uncle Tommy's going to be sitting there waiting for you every night. In Nigeria, ISP appears to be far more common and recurrent among people of African descent than among whites or Nigerian Africans, and is often referred to within African communities as the devil on your back. You got the devil on your back, right? In Turkey, sleep paralysis is called karabasan and is similar to other stories of demonic visitation during sleep. A supernatural being commonly known as a djinn, can, like a genie type of thing, can comes to the victim's room, holds him or her down hard enough not to allow any movement, and starts to strangle the person. So to get rid of the demonic creature, one needs to pray to Allah by reading Al-Falaq and Al-Nas and the Quran. Moreover, in some derivatives of the stories, the djinn has a wide hat and is a person that can show, and if the person can show the courage and take its hat, then the djinn becomes its slave. Look at that, man. Take the djinn's hat, boom, you got it going on. Interesting stories though, right? All these cultures around the world all having a basic run-of-the-mill type of thing pointing to this effect, and the fact that, you know, this could very easily be misconstrued as, you know, they kind of generalize. So, you know, yeah, you're going to have this dude with a hat and whatever, take his hat, that type of thing. But I'm talking about the individual and what you experience. And since I've known people who have gone through this, you know, I've known people that had spirits in bed with them, but this is specifically, something bad. And obviously, if it's sitting on your chest and constricting your breathing, you know, that's something that you don't want. So in Thailand, it's believed that sleep paralysis and discomfort is caused by a ghost that Thai folklore are known as the Phi Am. Some people claim that the spirit may even cause bruises. Stories about the spirit are common. So think about, you know, in the southern states in the United States, it's also referred to as witch riding, right? Well, witches be angry to hear about that, man. Witches have a bad rep. I know a couple witches around the way. And, you know, people do what they do. And there's a lot of misinformation out there, a lot of ignorance out there. So that's why we try to bring things to light here on Discovery Paranormal, right? But all right, in Eastern Chinese folklore, it's thought that a mouse can steal human breath at night. Some people even say cats, you know, you maybe heard of that one. Human breath strengthens the mouse, allowing it longevity and the ability to briefly become human at night. In a similar fashion to fox spirits, the mouse sits near the person's face or under their nostrils, right? So I don't know about mice on my face. I don't know about spiders or any of that stuff. And if something goes bump in the night, I kind of listen. And if it goes bump again, maybe I talk to it. I have an open mind for things, you know, and I think it's good to have an open mind unless you can't handle something. And people do, and they shut stuff down. This is a case where, or I should say the millions of cases where this has happened, people actually wake up to see somebody sitting on them. They see the face, they see their hands. I mean, there's cases where people have had those bruises around their neck, hand marks around their neck, fingers, you know? I mean, like, how does that happen unless someone's sitting on you and the bruising on the person's consistent, their injuries are consistent with that activity. It's not just, oh, I woke up and I couldn't move, you know, a sleep paralysis, and then these doctors are going to stretch it and stretch it and stretch it to the point of ridiculous, you know, of the point of there's no, all right, this is the thing with doctors, right? If there's no scientific basis for it, you can't have an opinion if you're a doctor, unless you're willing to look outside the box for the solution, you know, to whatever the question is, whatever the problem for the answer, right? If they're going to say, okay, they keep stretching their you know, what they feel is going on, and keep stretching and stretching it, but with no scientific basis, they're just offering opinions. And those opinions aren't really valid because obviously they don't have the expertise or they don't have the experience in that area to offer those opinions, right? Anyway, if you wake up with some spirit sitting on top of you and they're strangling you, and then like you could look online. There's lots of documented cases where it's happened, where people have gotten beaten up and bruised or whatever. I have a friend. She used to get like mauled and molested in her shower and come out with hand marks and bruises, like, you know, like raped basically in her shower. Her house was full of terrible spirits, man, terrible energy. Much of it was brought on by people who lived there, doing all kinds of dark stuff, bringing it in, you know? What do you think is going to happen? You dabble with things that you don't know, you're going to get the crap kicked out of you, you know? And this is a bigger world. The physical world that you know is just a drop in the bucket to really the fabric of the universe. And there's all kinds of levels that people just don't get or understand, but they want to dabble. They want to get into that dark stuff. They want to get into it, and when it bites them, they get scared. Then they call people like me, and they're like, oh, I messed around, and look what I got. Oh, you got to come over. I can't sleep at night. There's things, people walking up and down the halls, creatures biting at me. I'm like, oh, my God. Right? And you have to go and try to mitigate it and keep things at a minimum, man. But it's hard to do. It's like you're trying to close the door. You bring people in who are very good at that, too. Everybody spends their own time doing it. Nobody charges anybody, that type of stuff. You know, not anyone I'm associated with. And then you dedicate yourself and your time to this. And then here's this person 10 minutes later opening the freaking door again. Right? And they call you up crying. Oh, I can't do it. You know what? You can't help some people. You can't help some people. It's that simple. So in this case, this is a generic Lilith that's out there. So we're going to talk about the phenomenon, right? All right. Whether you call it a demon, night hag, Lilith, whatever. It's all the same, right? Creepy, terrifying, powerful, malignant, malevolent. Now, this person or these people can appear, all right, but like, all right, so Lilith can appear as a potent seductress, you know, the stuff that nightmares are made out of, right? You know, basically, or maybe a wretched crone coming at you, right? Ever watch Popeye? They had the sea hag, that type of thing. So basically, it's a lot of cultures will refer to it as a golem, like, a living devil, whatever. Golem is more like a living monster, that type of thing, right? Jewish word, you know, Yiddish. Jinn, genie, whatever. It's bad. Let's just say, everybody's saying, it's not, they made a brown sugar and cinnamon. It's just bad. It's just bad, right? And if you encounter it, and I know somebody who had this dude, she moves into her house when she was like 7 years old with her family, right? On Long Island. And there was a dude in the closet. She would tell people in her family, there's a guy living in the closet. You know, like she sees him, spirit. They didn't see him. And then she got the guy's name, how he died. He died in a car wreck, and he was like this messed up dude and whatever. And this guy like tormented her in that situation. She'd wake up and he'd be sitting on top of her, choking her out. She had bruises consistent to that, you know, and this happened for years and years and years until she got the hell out of there to go to college. You know, and she didn't want to go back to that house ever. And then the family still didn't believe her. They thought she was nuts, you know. But she definitely had the experience. And, you know, she says she even sees them in her dreams sometimes, right? So you don't know how, in our physical world, how things get around in other worlds, right? And when I mean other worlds, I'm talking about the different levels of physics. That this is a scientific type of thing, right? So if you look at quantum physics, the laws of quantum physics are opposite of the laws of our macro level world here. So microphysics and that microphysics, the level beyond beneath us, if you want to even call it that, that we understand it as, we're on the macro level, right? If these particles can truly move and things can go miles within seconds, if they can go 50 miles and instantaneously, you know, with obstructions in the way or whatever, and you're observing, everything you're observing is opposite to our world. There's room to roam between that, isn't there? I think that you don't understand the spirit world, but that's part of the spirit world. If you're going to take that, look at those particles and look at the movement of the quantum and then, you know, other levels of physics, you have to understand that energy transforms and energy doesn't die. It goes from one thing to the other. And humans are complex, are very simple, but very complex, right? And scientists don't even understand how the brain works. You know, they just know little itty tiny bits of pieces. They don't even know how much of a brain someone uses on an average basis and whatever, man. So I like to have an open mind, me personally. And whenever I encounter stories from people, and you can tell pretty fast if someone's off the wall or not. I'm sorry. You know, you can. If someone's being for real, if they had that experience, I am not in the position to doubt that. If you tell me that you woke up and there was this thing sitting on you, choking you out, you know, you were suffocating, choking, you're looking at it, and you're not having an experience where you're not, you know, I mean, they're saying that if you have sleep paralysis, you could possibly hallucinate. If you throw possibly hallucinate into the mix, then anything's good at that rate. You could possibly hallucinate in any situation then. And not, you know, maybe your whole life is a freaking hallucination. You know, if you want to get deep like that, Mr. Scientist buddy. But I'm going to say people's individual experiences matter. And I like to hear those stories. And if you're going to tell me that you've been tormented by a spirit, I'm going to tell you that's not the first time I heard that story. It's not unique. It happens to people. But where do you go when it's happening to you? When you tell your family and then, man, they're closed off. Oh, no, they're Catholic and they don't believe in ghosts, right? I just had this argument, discussion with someone a couple weeks ago who is Catholic, who automatically, if you meet people through other people and whatever, and you're a paranormal investigator, and those people can't wrap their head around it. They got a million questions, but their questions don't really mean anything if their minds are going to reject what you have to lay down, right? And, you know, I hear myself talking sometimes about the investigations that I do, and there are people that could perceive that maybe as terrifying, you know what I mean? Maybe it's something that, it's exactly the opposite of what they would do. I was watching this in normal life, you know, and they're happy puppies and kittens, normal life. They don't think about walking around these haunted places that, you know, places that are active and, you know, violently active. And there's all kinds of stuff going on there. That's not good. It is probably the last thing these people would ever do. But so they have like lots of questions, right? And you want to be able to scare them as you're telling them because it's fun. It's fun to do it. You know what? Don't ask. You know, it's like that. I'm not going to candy coat stuff. You're talking about dipping into another reality. You know, it's beyond your push button paper pushing world. You know, it's something other that there are people like me who like to explore, you know, or make that connection for whatever the reason you call to it. It's an attractive thing. You go to it, man. And then you learn from your experiences, you know. But so I said to them, I'm like, you don't believe in ghosts? Oh, no, definitely not. I don't believe in ghosts. But I said, you believe in the Holy Ghost, right? The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Oh, that's different. And they're like, how is it different? I'm like, I read the Bible multiple times. Jesus doing all kinds of magical stuff, miracles, man. You know, boom. And there's all kinds of ghosts. There's all kinds of spirits. There's all kinds of stuff in the Bible. You ever read the Bible? It's got every bit of sex. It's got every bit of debauchery. It's got every, you know, suffering, slave, this, whatever. Oh, you name it. If it's not in the Bible, it ain't out there. But how are you going to say you don't believe in ghosts? You know, it's something other. Or like, you know, I have friends who are Muslim who believe that these spirits are jinn. It's a jinn. And by my very nature of dabbling in that world makes me evil because I'm connecting myself with something that's like an abomination. So it's like part of Satan, right? These are the same people who believe the earth is flat. Keep that in mind. Muslims. Yeah, earth is flat. When I ask Muslims who people I know who are Muslims who are pretty fairly developed in their research in life, whatever, and I kind of laugh about the whole earth is flat. And I said, you know, it says that in the Quran, and they try to defend it for like 3 seconds, and then they kind of laugh and like, oh, well, yeah, it's not flat. No. And drinking alcohol is not bad either. So there, So when you have an experience, it's important to understand it. That's all I'm saying after all that, right? So, but in this case, Lilith, in every historical portrayal, she is uniquely terrifying, right? And at the same time, remains a universal symbol of a woman's unconquerable power. Interesting, because it's always referred to as a woman, but people have told me that the ghost sitting on them was male. So, but this is specifically the folklore part of it. You can see how people breathe life into all kinds of stuff, right? It's Lilith has become a feminine icon, which is funny because she like sits on you and crushes the life out of you. You know what I mean? It's kind of, if that's the way feminists see themselves, that's pretty frightening. All right. And okay, in most myths, she is chaos. She is the ungodliness. But in every guise throughout history, she is a figure that can never fully be understood or vanquished. If this is happening to you, she might sit on your chest at night, although people recognize the Night Hag as the mythical figure, right? And that, you know, basically related to the paralyzing sleep condition, you know. But as people often wake in these cases, unable to breathe, move, or speak with this figure sitting on their chests, the paralysis has nothing to do with this figure staring at you, choking you out. Unless you're going to say, ooh, it's a hallucination. So all these people are hallucinating, seeing that, then how come you don't see Mickey Mouse up there choking you out? Or Mitch McConnell or someone like that, you know, choking you out, right? Choking the life out of you. How come you don't see other people, people you know, people you don't like? A dog or a cat, a mouse, a Chinese mouse. Trying to suck the air. No, they see people. So now we have ancient stories of why this happens among all these different cultures. They all have a word for it. They all have a meaning behind it, right? And by the way, it affects all races, genders, cultures, backgrounds, and you know, happens a lot, the African-American community, you know, but interesting that, you know, I love it when science tries to put their stamp on it. And, you know, when you're having these experiences, they want to just kind of minimize it and say, well, it must have been this, it must have been that, whatever. Well, if you're going to guess at that type of stuff, you can guess at all the other stuff that's there. But the world of science doesn't want to admit that the paranormal world exists. As a matter of fact, they created the world, the word paranormal, because paranormal actually means things that you cannot prove with scientific equipment. But we use scientific equipment in our investigations and take readings, and we get responses through that scientific equipment. So I think that if you're not willing to keep an open mind, then there's a whole bunch of stuff that you're not going to understand, right? But in this case, this Lilith or the Night Hag, you know, has always existed, right? And basically, it watches, lurks, you know, always staying out of direct sight. She's a dark figure that can bring, you know, all kinds of, like, you know, you could hear EVPs, like disembodied voices, strange voices, ringing, buzzing, scraping, laughing, right? And by the way, all of this can be attributed to a haunting, you know? It doesn't have to be the Night Hag, right? It doesn't have to be that. And that's more the point of the show. I like talking about the folklore. And I like talking about the stories, but as we grow as people, and we understand more about the paranormal, we understand more about the world, the universe, we can start applying our modern day knowledge to these folk tales, you know, and we can actually find a lot of truth in them. You know what I mean? So, but this night hag has existed for over 4,000 years, right? Wandered the earth as a sinister power, you know? She preys on pregnant women, infants, men, terrifies the innocent with her dark knowledge.
Save your most important documents and photos in the cloud. A Microsoft 365 subscription gives you a full terabyte of secure OneDrive storage, plus an added layer of protection with OneDrive Personal Vault. Buy now at Microsoft365.com/photos.
She's been an intrinsic part of the literary and artistic imagination, appearing in some of the oldest writings ever discovered. So it's something that people experience, right? She can be, here's one. She can bear the children of human men. How about that? Most known as Lilith throughout history, the night hag's name derives from the Sumerian word for female demons and wind spirits called the Lithu. Although they are often perceived as beautiful and alluring, like sirens type of thing, these dangerous spirits seek the destruction of anyone that they dislike. And apparently that's a lot of people. They tend to target pregnant women and babies, or act aggressively towards those they want to intimidate. So the Lilith, dwell in the desert and other isolated dark spaces, and have breasts filled with toxic liquid instead of milk. So you might want to watch out for that. So, question to you guys out there. Do you think that a baby can become demonically possessed, or possessed in general, you know? And do you think that it's susceptible being in the womb such as it is? So that's something that we should explore on the show at some point. But I just kind of, like, when I was reading that, made me think of that. So, all right, here's another story. This one's going way back. Lilith, she left Adam because he wouldn't let her be on top. All right. This is getting a little, you know, adult audience here, man. Kids got to leave the room. All right. Her image as a dark feminine spirit continued until the 7th century, at which time people were very horny. And her reputation became even more sinister. Sometime around the year of 1000 CE, an anonymous text titled The Alphabet of Ben Sira was introduced to the Jewish community. In it, Lilith plays a big part in her winged destroyer, who preys on the innocent. And she is also a major player in the history of the world. She is Adam's first wife, the one before Eve, who leaves Eden because she does not want to be inferior to man, back with feminism, right? In this fanciful addition to the age-old biblical tale, the Almighty fashioned a woman for Adam named Lilith, who is supposed to serve as his loyal companion. But Lilith does not want to lie under Adam during intimacy. She wants to be on top, literally and figuratively, as a free and powerful woman. She does not want to rule over Adam. She just wants to be equal. Ooh, that's deep for something that's thousands of years ago. You know what I mean? That's deep thinking. Think about that. So, much to the chagrin of the creator, Lilith continued to fight with Adam and eventually became so frustrated with his arrogance that she brazenly spoke the sacred name of God which was reserved only for holy priests. In doing this, she shockingly proved her unworthiness to live in paradise with Adam. As a result, she became associated with a demonic and flew away to become a supernatural character who is of earth and yet not beholden to it. So do you think that in this situation, I don't even know where to start with that, man. Do you think that the whole Adam and Eve thing, if the creator who doesn't make mistakes, you know, made this woman first, Lilith, and she wanted to be on top, and there was really no way of doing it for Adam and Eve, let's say, right? This kind of like, you gotta, you know, there was no Pornhub, there's no instruction manual, there was no books about it. You know what I mean? You basically got a penis, she has a vagina, and you go to it. Woohoo! Do what you do. There's no wrong way of doing it. If I was the creator and Adam said, well, she wants to get on top, I'd be like, Adam, there's no, I'll use a creator voice. Adam, there's no wrong way of doing it, my son. And he'd be like, really? Yep. Well, watch the monkeys, check them out. Check out the giraffes, check out the bulls. Go look at the bulls and the cows. Go look at the bears. Look at the birds. Look at the bees. Figure it out. Don't eat those apples. I'm saving them for later. You know? And that's it. And then he goes back with Lilith. She gets on top. Woohoo! You know? Sometimes it's good to be on top. I'm 6'5". You know what I mean? Sometimes it's good for a girl to be on top of people, man. Is that empowerment, or just that you're messing around, having fun? You know, I say the Kama Sutra. Maybe God should have just whipped out a version of the Kama Sutra and said, Adam, he can't read. So you got to kind of like, bump, look at these pictures. Use your imagination, stupid. They're like, you know, you're the creator, you're all mad because Adam's an idiot. And he's your Lilith wants, she just wants to be like empowered. Give them both dicks and vaginas and kind of just call it a day. You know what I mean? Complicated dick. All right. Lilith, man. So her hairy legs are a dead giveaway. So outside of the Bible, the most legitimate source on Lilith is found in an ancient book called the Zohar, one of the most respected volumes in Jewish mysticism, right? Lilith is mentioned many times in this text, and depictions of her support the idea that she was created at the time of Adam from the dust of the earth. She is also described as the unsuitable wife of God's first man and the demon who inhabited the serpent's body to tempt the original Eve. So bang, Lilith goes, comes back as a snake, goes to the tree of knowledge, plucks some fruit, gives it to Eve. She shoves it up Adam's kazoo, and then boom, starts the whole mess that you know today. The whole mess. That's it. So in this way, the fall of man was not only the result of female weakness, but also of woman's, spite, anger, vindictiveness. You know, women. There's people out there who are like that, lots of them. And, man, it's out there. So, but now a lot of women would look at this and say, that's just men who write the history who are vilifying women. You know, because it was women who were responsible for the first original sin. It was women who did all these things and whatever. So women get the bad rap in a lot of these old books because it's written by men, right? But according to the Zohar, Lilith was in league with Satan and represented the ultimate female figure of wickedness. So she wanders about, you know, at nighttime, basically, vexing the sons of men and causing them to defile themselves. They emit their seed, right? And I mean, this is all like old Jewish text. You gotta trust that, right? You gotta trust that. She even disguised herself as the Queen of Sheba to seduce King Solomon, but he spied her hairy legs and recognized her as a beastly imposter that she was. Hairy legs! Ah! Thou hast hairy legs. Begone, demon. I agree. I don't like him either. Every time I see those hairy legs, I went to a restaurant one time. This waitress comes out. It's like she got the hairiest legs I've ever seen. And like, I don't know, man. The whole experience was bad. I was like, begone, demon. Get me someone who's got some pants on or something, man, so I don't have to see their hairy legs. Is that bad for women to have hairy legs? Yeah. Yep. Yes. Yep. Absolutely it is. And obviously this is a way of telling someone who's a demon and not me. All right. I think that, all right. So the night hag, we know so far, is described as incredibly evil, merciless woman who exists in her own fiendish plane, mostly invisible to the eyes of men. She's a seductress, but she got hairy legs. You might hear some bristling going on down there. She's the most commonly used to explain the phenomenon of sleep paralysis, though, which is interesting. And then, although her disquieting figure has been pervaded for centuries, weaving its way through endless religious and cultural texts, she's believed to be many things. So I'm going to go back to, this is their general term for this this thing that happens, whether you're being attacked by, you know, by the paranormal, or you know, there are people that have problems dreaming and sleeping, and there is different versions of sleep paralysis. I'm not going to say that doesn't exist, but I'm saying if you wake up with some spirit sitting on you, you look at them, you can see them, look right in their eyes. Is that some hallucination? Maybe, maybe not. But you can't say that it is for sure. And I think it's stretching it, you know? So, but it's also the world's oldest known story, right? I mean, you're going back to Adam and Eve. You're going back to the beginning. You know, probably a lot of you didn't know about Lilith before Eve, you know? So, you could also see her in the Bible, in case you're wondering. She makes a brief appearance in the Bible. Lilith does appear specifically in Isaiah 34:14, when a sword-wielding Yahweh seeks the destruction of the infidel Edomites, who were longtime enemies of the ancient Israelites. He finds himself in a chaotic desert, purgatorial disdain, where goat demons and wildcats wander without purpose, and the nefarious she-devil, Lilith, is known to reside. So, boom. She does not receive much more description than this in the Bible. However, historians assume that this is solely because she didn't need one. People of that time already knew her from oral histories and artistic depictions because she is, again, wandering in the desert. Basically, she's linked to the whole Gilgamesh story, and that establishes her as a legitimate figure in human history. But I'm going to go deeper than that. They didn't put her in there because they didn't want to put her in there. they didn't put her in there because they didn't want to tell that story. You know, they wanted the imperfection in their mind of what Lilith was to a creator. You know, they wanted to erase that. And like a lot of history that's written by the victors, or written or rewritten, or the stories change over time, or, you know, the very fact that, yeah, a lot of males in especially the Catholic Church back in the day, but if you go into religion in general, a lot of these males did not want to give women credit for anything. You know, to vilify them is fine, to give them credit is not. And I think that just like the Book of Mary, I mean, I had to dig for a while to find a copy of the Book of Mary, and there's not much to it, but what's there is interesting. You know, this was something that was hidden for you know, years and years and years, buried out there in the desert in clay pots, that was discovered years later by an archaeologist. You know, these people in religion, organized religion, want to tell their own story, you know, and they cherry pick information that fits where their heads are at, right? But especially when it comes to truth, they don't want truth to get out there because it doesn't fit what they say. So, all right, so Lilith, in all her dark female glory, is the opposite of the masculine world and has been exiled as such to a wasteland where she could never prosper, right? So it is at this point in English translations of the Bible where the name Lilith becomes interchangeable with the night hag or, excuse me, or the night monster. Hebrew texts and certain biblical texts label her as Lilith, but in other versions, her image is more akin to a bird or a creature of the night. Trying to get rid of her, right? And change things around, switch things around. So now there's the Dead Sea Scrolls, which I own. And if you want to really understand how life was back then, you want to read the Dead Sea Scrolls. So her story continues in the Dead Sea Scrolls. The dark image of Lilith resurfaces in the Dead Sea Scrolls, which were discovered in ancient caves around the Jordan River in what is now the West Bank. These writings are believed to date back as far as 150 BCE and includes manuscripts and considerable historical, religious, and linguistic significance, all of which predate the Bible and the ancient religious beliefs of Judaism. So there are stories that came before the stories, and Lilith is there, woven into the text like the shadowy figure who has haunted the world since the beginning of time. In the hymn Song for a Sage, possibly used for exorcisms, Lilith appears again as a target, the sage would like to eliminate, along with the bastard spirits, the demons, and those that strike suddenly and make make desolate their heart. Lilith finds company in those people. Again, her image as a murky, dangerous devil delivers a lot of terror without much description. This characterization is echoed in the Bible and becomes a pervasive image in future depictions. It's funny to have such a powerful figure, right? I mean, like, unbelievably powerful figure that is just everywhere in the Dead Sea Scrolls. The Dead Sea Scrolls, you know, you got to look at the Bible as it's comprised of a bunch of books, right? The King James Version has the least amount of books. The Greek version of the Bible, I think, has 50 books. And I have the Ethiopian Bible that has over 70. So these are all things that were left out for specific reasons that King James had, you know, and also you have to understand the translation going from Aramaic and other types of languages all the way down to English, which is a far stretch. But to me, just sitting here talking about this, it's interesting to me that this Lilith was truly not just left out, but like kind of squelched out in a way of getting rid of the name, but becoming a creature instead, or just this image, right? Really interesting. They didn't do that with Satan. You know, this is like female Satan. You know what I mean? Satan was supposed to be the first angel who challenged God and got tossed out of heaven, right? Down to earth, by the way. Lilith was supposed to be made from earth by the creator, you know, and it's just interesting how that even might predate the whole Satan thing, if you think about it. So, I don't know. As time goes on, I would like to learn more about these things. And I think that people should dig for more information, you know, archaeologists and people who are in the know as much as they can, and also try to get rid of that, the whole ignorant part of that organized religion, and actually focus on actual text and actual things that happen, you know, not what their narrative is, but what the truth is, right? Getting down to the truth. I know it's easier said than done. I know we can't even do that today. We are on modern day media. I mean, people lie. They lie at will. But Lilith is now interesting in my mind anyway. So the Talmud describes her as a beastly seductress, man. One of the oldest religious texts in the world is the Talmud, which contains the teachings and opinions of thousands of rabbis, dates back to the 3rd through 5th century BCE, and is the basis for all Jewish law and discussion. Even here, Lilith appears as a long-haired demon with wings who could attach herself to a sleeping person. So in the Talmud, there are special protections that you can use to ward her off, because Lilith terrorized societies for centuries. Many incantations and amulets were created to ward off her evil power. One such artifact dating back to the 7th or 8th century BCE was discovered in Syria in 1933 and clearly illustrates the ancient fear of this winged demon. This limestone plaque, which likely hung in the home of a pregnant woman, served as a protector against Lilith, who was believed to always be lurking at the door and blocking out the light. One translation of the artifact reads, O you who fly in the darkened room, be off with you this instant, Lilith, thief, breaker of bones. The plaque thus offered protection from her malevolent intentions and kept the innocent mother and the child safe. Ancient people believed that there were also always supernatural forces at work, just looking to bring about destruction, much like the evil eye, and Lilith bore the face of this demon. These amulets and protections surely helped these impressionable people cope with the fear. You know what? All from a woman who wanted to be on top. You know what I mean? It's really? You know, it often comes down to that. Who's going to be on top? You know, often comes down to that. But I think that this is an amazing story, or stories, especially when it comes to the metaphor behind it, right? And how she wasn't cast out of Eden. She decided to leave. She didn't want to be there anymore because she wanted to be an equal. You know, if this was truly that mentality back then, you have to understand, like in modern day today, people are fighting for rights every day. Women, gay people, black people, whatever, everybody fighting for that equality, you know? And it's happening every day through our cultures all around the world. This to me is important because it was, she left voluntarily. So because of that, her punishment is to be this demon for eternity plaguing people. You know, I mean, like, think about that statement. And I'm not saying it's true. I'm saying that she was vilified for leaving a situation where she wasn't an equal. You know, she made the choice to suffer. You know, there's a lot of depth in that. And I think that you could find a lot of power inside of that, you know. I mean, born from the dust of the earth to basically just roam the earth plaguing people, it just sounds like such a spin on what the truth of it could have really been, you know. So, but now she's become a fierce feminist symbol, the hairy legs and all, you know. So today the image of Lilith receives more compassionate reading than it has historically been given. And she's even been made a resurgence as a feminist figure who demanded her own intellectual and sexual autonomy. In the modern parable, The Coming of Lilith by Judith Plaskow, Lilith becomes a more intelligible and likable creature. As she tells it, Lilith feels lonely when she is exiled from Eden. But you see, she wasn't exiled from Eden. She chose to leave, right? And tries to reconcile with Adam. So in this woman's tale, the book that she wrote, she's like, well, she was exiled, and now she wants to get back with Adam, and he doesn't accept her because he's been given Eve. He got a new girl. So, you know, he got a new girl's new wife. Notice that there's a wife in there, too. There's no wife. No one to marry you. What, the giraffe is going to marry you, you know? So it's just interesting how people kind of put their own stuff in there, you know what I mean? And it says, one day Eve sees Lilith on the other side of the wall in paradise and recognizes her as being another woman like herself. She swings on a branch and lands on the other side, making friends with Lilith. And discovering a common bond of friendship. We're lesbians. And then Adam's sitting there like, uh-oh. And God's sitting there like, uh-oh. I was afraid of that. Adam. Oh, God, what am I supposed to do? Adam, you got two hands, buddy. That's all I can say. All I can say. I can help you maybe grow another hand, you know, but that's a feminist. Isn't that funny? That's a feminist version of what that was like, you know, swinging on the branch over the wall and they made friends. Oh my God. And if Adam was any kind of a dude, he'd be like, hey, why don't you come on in? We got the three of us. Woohoo. Right. A little bit of Mormon going on there, but the moral to the story is people like to hurt others. People are out there are looking to vilify. People are out there looking to twist and turn and spin. But it's you who has the experience who needs to determine what's happening to you. If you wake up with some spirit sitting on you or choking you out or something, I think you got to do something about it. You got to clean your house. You got to contact somebody in the know and do something, man. You know, because that's no way to live. And then if they're affecting you like that, they're acting beyond where they should be at in their realm, you know. So, I don't know. It's an uphill battle, man. Uphill battle. But I know people it's actually happened to, and that's why I thought it was interesting. And then sad for Lilith, man. Sad. But that's the world, eh? But I'm going to end the show on that little empathetic note. This is Michael Angley on Discovery Paranormal on United Public Radio Network, or UPRNTalkRadio.com. Coming at you, picking up that apple from that tree, little apple pie. Yeah, you apple pie, little vanilla ice cream. You know what I mean? I would have had a party back then. See, Adam was a douche. I would have had a party. I got Lilith. Now she wants to come back. I got Eve. She's over here. You know what? Maybe God could create a little DJ There's some music, man. A couple other girls. We got some stuff going on, man. A little bit of champagne. We got it going on. That's Eden to me. If you're going to talk about Eden, that's Eden to me. That's some hellish place. I want some nice thing. There's a snake over there. Oh, get rid of the snake. I don't like snakes. It'll clog up our toilet. So I'm going to end it on that note. I will see you guys next week on this here show. Bye.
Whether you host a nightly dinner party for two or five, keeping your eating and dining area clean helps keep your mind on the dinner party and not on the cleanup afterwards. Viva paper towels clean like cloth, trapping splatters and sauces that could become countertop stains or stuck on messes. And they're two times more durable when wet compared to the leading value brand. For an exceptional cloth like paper towel, there's Viva. Visit vivatowels.com to soak up the clean feeling of home.
Save your most important documents and photos in the cloud. A Microsoft 365 subscription gives you a full terabyte of secure OneDrive storage, plus an added layer of protection with OneDrive Personal Vault. Buy now at Microsoft365.com/photos.